Good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome to worship at Central Church. I want to welcome you on this Independence Day weekend here, and I'm hoping that you are finding ways to grill out and have reunions with family or friends or jumping in the lake or whatever makes it a festive weekend, while at the same time really being able to care about the welfare of your neighbors as well. Because when we're looking out for our neighbor, all neighbors, we're putting to use those great lines from the Declaration of Independence that everyone deserves to have life and liberty, the pursuit of happiness found in that declaration. And it means we keep watching out for each other, keep acknowledging each other, all people. We're kind of in this thing together, working toward healing as a country, as a world. Speaking of caring for our neighbors, we also want you to know that Central Church has formed a regathering task force. It's been meeting over the last couple of weeks, going to continue to meet so that we have the best plans that we can come up with based on best practices around the country for when we might come together late summer or early into the fall. Beyond that, really, our needs heading into a new year. You know, our plans need to take that long view together. This is a proactive step. It's a hopeful step. It's a neighbor-honoring step, these important conversations we're having. I would ask you to pray for the work of the regathering task force, because there's so many groups of people that benefit from what we do in this building, and we want to do reentry right. You can find more information based on Pastor Dale put a blog out, fresh, hot off the presses, just came a couple of days ago. Check out Dale's blog and also on our COVID response page on Central's website. And this is a cool day as well, because we get to share the sacrament of Holy Communion as a congregation. You might notice here on the Lord's table, we have the elements out. So it's been our practice these last couple of months that we've entered this for the first Sunday of the month. Get your own elements at home. We like to say, have it be items that are expressly for this moment. If you have some grape juice or a special bread or cracker, bring it out and have it be on the table next to you. And when Dale and I come to consecrate in the elements after the message today, you'll be right there and ready to have that sacramental moment with us. Also, looking ahead, we'd like... You should have received an email a few days ago from the church about our July 19th picnic in the open lawns at the stadium, at Pitt Spitters Stadium, that will gather 3:30 that afternoon, July 19th. The game starts at 5. Your ticket, the price of admission, will cover the box lunch as well as the ball game that evening. And we really think this is a doable step, and having people be within view and waving to each other and being each other's presence with a social distance in a way that'll be fun. So hope that you all come out for that. Finally, want to name and honor passing of two dear souls into glory that have happened in recent days. Janice Linsell and also Carol Watson passed. I want to offer your prayers for their families as they grieve and celebrate. Also, I want to speak of celebration. The outreach community that really we have fed and cared for so many years here, I got a call from one of the guests, a man I'll simply name is Jimmy. Jimmy has moved to another community now, living with some family, and he called to say, "Pastor Chris, you all helped us in so many ways. I just celebrated my 90th day of sobriety." And he wanted to share that with us. I thought you'd like to hear that celebration as well. That's the kind of ministry that we get to encourage and stand by people as they're growing in this life. God bless you. We're so glad you're with us. Now I want to recognize Stephanie Wagner, who's going to call us to worship.
As we come to worship, let's welcome God into our hearts and homes. We bow our hearts before you, God. You are the creator of everything we see, in heaven and on earth. We pray that out of your glorious, unlimited resources, you would strengthen our hearts and minds through the power of your Holy Spirit. May your love be the rich soil in which our lives are rooted. May your love be the firm foundation on which we build. so that together with all your people everywhere, we would truly come to understand how long, how high, how wide, how deep your love really is, and how far it surpasses anything we can imagine. God, fill us with your fullness and the power that comes from you alone, so that our lives would reflect your goodness and grace to the world around us. Amen.
Good morning, kids. This is the time of our service that we really want to honor you and have a time when we as the pastors get to speak to you. Of course, if there are big kids or big people around, you can listen in also. Hasn't it been hot lately? It's been so humid this week. And I imagine some of you have used that as a chance to jump in the big lake or maybe a smaller in the lake or maybe a swimming pool in your backyard or maybe just turning on the sprinkler in your yard and running through it. That's loads of fun. I got a water bottle here not long ago, and I really like it because as well as drinking cold water in this sort of insulated container, it has a button where you can mist yourself. Do you see this? Oh, my gosh, when it's hot, that feels so good just to have a little mist. Well, it has me thinking about how important water is to our life. I've been told that most of our bodies are made up of water. And water is a big deal in the Bible, too. It sometimes is compared to being like God's love, which runs like an ever-flowing stream, or God's desire to have us treat each other well, like a mighty river. Jesus talked about God's love being like a well that has no bottom to it. It keeps giving to us. And I think it's such a neat image of God is loving us with this unstoppable, endless force so that we have the energy to love people in a world that's not always so loving toward us. I want you to see this picture, this little video that I took. Can you see my hand is under this, what looks like a faucet, but it's really not a faucet. I took a trip down to the little village of Onekama, about an hour from here, and they are known for these artesian wells, which is where water bubbles up, very pure, wonderful, sweet-tasting water deep in the earth, and it comes out of these places that just keep bubbling over. This is an artesian well. People come there from all over with buckets to take back to their home. I filled up my water bottle there too, and the water was delicious. And it had me thinking about the way God is with us. There is no limit to how God is giving us the ability to love in God's name. And I think that's important lately because some things are happening in the world that don't feel very loving. But it helps us remember, if we're going to follow Jesus, we are given a power and an access to loving without limit. Think about that. As you jump in the lake and run through your sprinkler, drink good water, God is loving us without limit, just like a well that continues to bubble over all the time. I love that idea. I hope you can get into it as well. God bless you. Friends, welcome to this time of prayer. And it occurs to me on this Independence Day weekend that where we who follow Christ have our greatest identity is we're citizens of the realm of what God is doing in the world, even before we're citizens of this country. May the fact that we live our faith make us better for this country. And I would like you to join me. First, just taking a breath. Take a deep breath. The Spirit is a sign of breath. I want to pray a prayer that I've been inspired by a writer, Ted Loader, who prays prayers that touch me at a deep place, and I've adapted some words that he's offered. So let us pray. Eternal friend, as all of us listening lean in your direction today, grant me an ease to breathe deeply in this moment, this light, this miracle of having life right now. Beneath the fury of harsh news and urgent crises, of freedoms competing and argued over in our country lately, make me attentive still to your good news, to small occasions where love is struggling and winning, so that we might here have the grace to see what's possible as you see it, that I may miss neither my neighbor's gift nor my enemy's need. O life-giver God, especially in these pandemic days, grant us a sense of humor that adds some comedy and lightness to our compassion and an openness of mind despite the news and the fake news. So we would live simply today, choosing to link arm in arm with the one who saw signs of your kingdom in salt and yeast and in pearls and seeds, in travelers and tax collectors, sowers and harlots, foreigners and fishermen, and who opens our eyes with these signs and our ears with the summons we're the better for not ignoring, taking the next step in the direction of your voice toward justice and joy. And so we lean in your direction, God, praying the simple intention Jesus laid out for us all when we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Today's lesson is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, and is a prayer for spiritual strength. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church. It's good to be with you. I'm Pastor Dale, and I'm glad that we can be together for worship this morning, and as well to remember that even though we can't come together in person, that we are still Central Church, that everything that was important to us before COVID hit is still important to us. And so let's remember who we are, and let's hang in there and pray for that day when we can be together again. This morning's message is part of our current summer sermon series on shaping a good life. What we've been looking at is how we are shaped by the things that we focus on, what we give our attention and our time to. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Chris reminded us that the goal in all of this is that we could desire what God desires for us. And that with time and grace and everything else within our life can find its place within that desire. And we can find freedom in that as well. Last week, I preached on how our words, both that words we take in and words that we express, are pivotal in shaping who we are. And I also introduced the idea that the practice of simplicity, and by that I said, letting go of some things so that we can have room for what's most important, simplicity, can also help us make room for God and God's desires. Well, today I'm preaching on how we are shaped by the people in our lives, how our desires for God and God's way shapes our relationships also for the better. And I want to wonder with you also today just what it might mean to have simplicity in our relationships. Now, if we were to name the one thing that has the greatest influence in shaping us, I think we would agree it is the people in our lives. How our life gets formed has more to do with others than with anything else. It has to do with the love that we receive and that we're able to give back, with the steadiness, the faithfulness of that love, the hurt and joy that we can experience, the perseverance that we learn, the mercy that we're taught, the diversity of persons that we're exposed to in our lives, even the hope that we learn to share together, all of that and more shapes who we are and how we learn to live together. Think about your life. Who has helped to shape the person that you are today? What experiences with others are pivotal in that shaping? Probably too many to remember, right? But there are important ones. And I think it's as well important to say that the shaping of our personhood continues throughout our lives, especially if we're open to what's next and what yet can be. This past week, I held a committal service for church member Corrine Plow, who passed on to glory last November. Many of you remember Corrine as one of those persons who helped to shape your life. One of the things we remember about Corrine is that even in her 90s, she desired to keep learning from others. She was open-hearted, willing to have her life continually shaped. Our minds and our hearts are full of people.
Some have been around a long time, others have come and gone quickly, but they're all there. They're all part of our shaping. Writer David Ford, in his book, The Shape of Living, calls this the community of our heart. And he reminds us that heart is that dimension within us where memory and feeling and imagination reside, where it all comes together with thinking. That heart is the home for all of the concerns of our lives. But above all, he says, heart is inhabited by the images of others, other people, and our relation to them. These, he says, are the members of the community of our hearts. I want to pause and just have you think for a minute. Who are the members of the community of your heart? Some I know are as close as breath, so close that their presence is enmeshed in our daily living, right? Others pop up occasionally depending on what we're thinking or what we're doing. Some bring us joy and confidence, some grief or fear, but they're all part of the community that shapes our way in the world. Ford goes on to quote a psychotherapist friend who said that so much of the work he has to do with clients has to do with the quality of the community that they carry around in their hearts, and that it's important to know who those most significant members are, those who inhabit those places of deep relationship, as well as others who come and we offer them hospitality. They are the people who have chosen us. They are the people we have chosen. They're the people that we have little choice about, past and present. They form that community. Someone in my past, thinking about that idea of those from the past, was my friend Jim. We met in high school, and even though we were a grade apart, liked different things, we were still friends. We were buddies. And two important things of my relationship with Jim were his coming to be a Christian, but then his also coming out to be gay. You might say that God used our relationship to help him find God's deeper love in Christ. Jim was baptized. We became friends in Christ. We went to church together as well as being buddies. During his young adult years, Jim also claimed his sexual orientation as gay. And while that claiming gave him some peace about his personhood, it also made his life more difficult in ways as he struggled to find that right person to share his beliefs with and his life with. It also added a new dimension to our friendship because for the first time in my life at age 19, I had to seriously grapple with what it meant to be friends with someone who was gay. Jim was already a member of the community of my heart, but because I had not been taught anything positive about being gay, I had to do some serious heart work, which brought me to that understanding that this was okay, that he was still my friend, and he was still my friend in Christ. And even though Jim has passed on now, he's still a part of the community of my heart. A story from the past. But here's a more recent story. You know, it was 1 year ago this week that Central Church decided to become a reconciling congregation, a congregation that welcomes all people, including the LGBTQ community. A community, by the way, that for far too long has not been completely welcomed into the heart of the United Methodist Church, and have even been told that their personhood is not compatible with the teachings of Christ, with Christian teaching. When the 2019 General Conference voted to uphold the church's prohibitive language toward these brothers and sisters, Central said, you know, enough. We will take the side of the radical hospitality of Christ so that they know they are welcomed here and now, even as the mothership works to come up with a plan. The community of my heart has had persons who stood on different sides of this issue. Each has, in their own way, shaped me. But the presence of my LGBTQ friends has changed me, changed my life, reminded me that to live and let live is not enough, but rather that we are to live so others may have life in Christ and have it abundantly. That's what Jesus said he came to offer. So congratulations, Central. I wish we could be here to have some cake after worship. Unfortunately, we can't, but at least we can feel good about standing with the justice of Christ. Talking about what shapes our lives. You know, the community of Christ, or rather the community of our heart, contains a lot of people, and there are more ready to enter every day. And sometimes that shaping can be overwhelming. Each of us has our go-to people, our inner circle, family, friends, encouragers, and guides, those we count on, people who count on us. Our church family is a big part of that circle. But we also have those who come in and out of our lives, some closer, others more on the periphery, neighbors who need our hospitality, antagonists who need our grace, those who ask for our help, those who expect something of us. And then you add to that the fact that we live in a global society with 24/7 media access to what's going on around the world, and it can all be quite overwhelming. You ever feel that way? I know I do. And I've been thinking about that part of the community of my heart. You know, the George Floyds, Breonna Taylors, Ahmaud Arbery's, the 128,000 mostly faceless neighbors who have died of COVID-19. The homeless neighbor I saw walking on 8th Street. The anxious, unemployed neighbor who's living off her stimulus payment. Some come into my heart, in and out of my heart. Some take up residence there for a time being. But they ask, will you acknowledge me? Will you help me? Or will you go back to your default mode of out of sight, out of mind? The good news, my friends, is that these neighbors, along with others, can, by the grace of God, shape us into a more Christ-like people. But how do we cope with that feeling of sometimes being overwhelmed by it all? I imagine a few of you are saying it's about boundaries, having healthy boundaries, and you're right. You're right. We can't solve all the problems of the world, nor should we try. But we can, as one little woman from Calcutta once said, do something. That larger quote from Mother Teresa is, not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love. As Christ followers, my friends, we start with that most important relationship in the community of our heart, and that is our relationship with God. We seek to desire what God desires, to let God be the primary shaper of our lives. Let's look at today's scripture reading and see what we can learn about that. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to Christians living in that ancient city of Ephesus, which at that time was the Roman capital of Asia Minor, an important city. The church there was largely Gentile, which means they weren't Jewish, and that's how the gospel was spread, first starting in the Jewish enclave of Jerusalem in that vicinity, and then going out into the larger Mediterranean world. And for his theme here, Paul focuses on something that is at the very heart of the message of Christ, and that is reconciliation, reconciliation. How God, through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, once and for all, brings everything and in heaven and earth back into harmony. The creation, our relationship with God, our relationship with each other, with neighbor, all of it has been unified in Christ. Paul's message is that the power of Christ, His love, His grace, His forgiveness, it's gathering up, it's moving all things toward God's great purpose, a new creation, shalom, a creation of peace. This message is part of how Paul sees the community of his heart, how he sees his people, the church. He sees them as those who, like him, are finding a deeper and abiding unity with God, with neighbor, by this unifying, by this powerful love of Christ, and by trying to live, by grace, this life of Christ. And he acknowledges that these friends have shaped him. He says to them, I've heard of your faith in the Lord. I've heard of your love for all the saints. In other words, you know, you're an inspiration to me. I'm grateful for you, he says. I'm praying for you. He encourages them, be strong in the Lord, in the strength of his power. Pray, stay alert, he says. Even pray for me. See, you can tell that even though they're miles apart, Paul is holding this community in his heart. And his prayer for them, as we get to the heart of this text, is that Christ would indwell the community of their hearts, be the center of their life, the shaper of that community, and that in their life together, and here's those words from the text again, that they would know the breadth, the length, the height, the depth of the love of Christ, and be filled with the fullness of God so that they might accomplish abundantly far more than they could ask or imagine. Wow, right? What a prayer. What a hope-filled prayer for the church. My friends, this is not just wishful thinking. This is Paul believing, trusting what happens, believing and trusting what happens when Christ is at the center of our desire, of our life together. His boundless love, breadth, length, height, and depth, boundlessly transforms our life together. We're talking about those things that shape our lives, shape our desires. And the message here is that when this powerful love of Christ is at the center of it all, then we do not need to be overwhelmed. We do not need to be overwhelmed by the great needs and wants of the people in that community of heart, because the power of God is at work in us, able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine. Do you believe that? And if so, how does that then shape the community of our hearts, what we desire, what we do as church? Maybe this is a place to come back to that idea or the practice of simplicity, shedding rather to make room for what's more important, keeping the main thing the main thing, which means that we focus on the grace and power that is given to us to be who we can be and do what we can do, and to trust that God is with us in it all. We don't need to be overwhelmed. I need to hear that today, and I think you probably do as well. Well, how does that happen? Well, first of all, we let Christ shape us through prayer. Paul could not be everywhere. He could not be all things to everyone, but he held his communities in his heart. He held his community in prayer. He knew that prayer is the great connector, that when we pray, we're tapping into the conduit of the Spirit who is always praying for us and praying through us. That when we pray, we're joining the whole cacophony of voices, past and present, hoping, yearning for God's will to be done. In prayer, we are lifting others up into God's light and waiting with them, hoping with them, calling on God to be with them. And for that reason, my friends, prayer is not just the least we can do. It is the best that we do because it keeps everything in focus. We keep our shape with prayer, and we are not overwhelmed. Secondly, we employ the gifts of the church. We alone can't be everything to the community in our heart, but we can leverage the diverse gifts of the body of Christ. And out of that strength, we can ask then that question, what is that something I can do to those who hold an important place in my heart. And you and I then can trust that the power of God is at work there to accomplish abundantly far more than we can imagine and ask. We keep our shape by trusting God to call us and to equip us for what Spirit needs us to do. Lastly, and in that spirit of simplicity, we ask the question, what needs to go so that I have room to set another place at table? Who else do I need to make room for? Today we're celebrating Holy Communion, and although what is right and good is that we would be able to gather around the Lord's table here together, we can't do that just yet. But we can hold each other in the community of our hearts, and Christ can and does preside there as well, as the one who has reconciled all divisions and who has set a place for all who seek that peace. We keep our shape by embracing that hope-filled message of the Lord's table. A new world is coming, and we are companions on that way, and the bread of the Spirit of Christ is our sustenance for the journey. My friends, my prayer for you today is that the love of God in Christ would overwhelm you with joy and peace, so that you might treasure those who hold a place in the community of your heart. May it be so. Amen. Grace and peace, Church. It's good that we can invite you into this time of Holy Communion. And as we welcome you, we want you to remember that this is the Lord's table, and that Christ invites all who seek him, who seek to live in peace with him and neighbor, all are welcome to Christ's table today. And while this is a little different than usual, well, you know, what's right and good is that we celebrate Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper, Eucharist, in person when we're here together in this sanctuary. We are allowed to extend the Lord's table to those who cannot gather, and of course that includes all of us right now. And so that's what we're doing today. And as was mentioned earlier in the service, I hope you have some juice or some bread or cracker with you that you've set apart and special for this time. And what we believe is that the saving grace of Christ, the sanctifying, the grace that grows us is present in this moment and can be conveyed in this moment. And so we celebrate that Christ is with us now.
Friends, we're going to use some of the words from the Great Thanksgiving that many congregations around the world use to prepare ourselves for this tactile expression of grace. On the screen, if you're watching today, we hope to have the words that you would respond to in bold that will appear. So as you see that, or if even the words are familiar, enter in. Let this be as if we were in the sanctuary together. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Blessed are you, God of creation and all beginnings, God of Abraham and Sarah, God of Miriam and Moses, God of Joshua and Deborah, God of Ruth and David, God of the priests and the prophets, God of Mary and Joseph, God of the apostles and all the martyrs, God of our mothers and our fathers, God of our children to all generations. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. You delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and you made with us a new covenant by water and spirit. And we remember how on the night in which Christ gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you, God, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. As you eat it, remember me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Oh, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, God, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make all of us one with Christ and one with each other, one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven.
want to thank you for being part of worship today. I want to thank you for all the ways that you trust God and are generous toward those in the community of your heart, including Central Church. I want to thank you for supporting Central during this season of health concern, when we can't do everything that we want to do and should be doing in ministry. But also to say thank you for supporting what we can do now and for looking forward together to the day that we can resume that fuller expression of Christ's ministry. I want to leave you today with a benediction that you've already heard as part of our scripture reading, but it's a good send-off and a takeaway for you to remember. Now to him who, by the power at work within us, is able to accomplish far more abundantly than we can ask and imagine, to God be the glory in the church, in Jesus Christ, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.